And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom, boom.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we
we
do?
Give the people what they want.
So much to discuss today. We are now in the midst of an actual NBA season. Great game last night between the Lakers and the Clippers. Also, underrated, underappreciated game between the Pelicans and the Raptors. And the Raptors, they really do have some big rings. Those rings are too big. We're going to get into all of that.
Yep.
The main event in L.A. did not disappoint. The Lakers and the Clippers in the Staples Center. And we start at the beginning. Ed, the crowd's reaction when Kawhi Leonard was introduced.
From San Diego State, number 2, Kawhi Leonard.
Not the warmest welcome for Southern California's own Kawhi, but after a slow start, missing a couple shots, he hit 7 straight shots, giving the Clippers a lead. They would relinquish later, but they would eventually win this game 102 to 112. Jalen, I know you watched this game just like I did. What were some of your biggest takeaways?
Some of my biggest takeaways is never overreact to the first game of the year. And a lot of people in the media and fans are going to do so. What you didn't mention is the Clippers were without Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers were without Kyle Kuzma and Rajon Rondo. This is going to give the Lakers the depth that they seem to not have last night. And by the way, they could use another shooter off the bench. Jamal Crawford is available. That's another subject for another day. They got off to a really good start. 11-2 run out of the gate for the purple and gold. Kawhi Leonard took over in the second quarter, as you mentioned, like a dominant player he is. Danny Green took over in the third quarter.
Yes, he did.
Both teams had their runs. And then in the fourth quarter, LeBron James, Anthony Davis,
where did
2 points.
I'm sorry. They scored 2 points combined in the entire fourth quarter.
Absolutely.
Two of the best 5 players in the NBA in a close game against a rival on opening night scored 2 points combined. Did you feel like LeBron was a little too deferential in the fourth quarter, as he's been accused of before in his career?
Well, truthfully, here's what I think. The storm of what happened with China has to weigh heavily on LeBron James, psychologically and emotionally. Remember, he's the person that carried that burden, and he's also the person that did the misstep when they put a microphone in front of his face. So I noticed some of that still weighs on him. Also, he's 35 years old during this year. He's in his 17th year. He has to pace himself. And on the other side, he going against this young, respectable animal in Kawhi Leonard that's going to score 30 points in 31 minutes. And when you're that efficient like Kawhi Leonard is, now that economy gets spread out throughout the team. Harold can get going. Lou Will can get going. Jermichael Finley can get going. Harkless makes a couple of shots. And before you know it, their bench is really productive. Kawhi was dominant when he needed to be. And the Los Angeles Lakers showed some vulnerability, but that's in an era where teams don't have super squads. So that's going to happen on a nightly basis to a lot of different teams, but I'm not worried about the Lakers.
Jermichael Green, I'm sure you meant. We also have this. Do you remember yesterday we were talking about someone to key on and a player that we thought was really going to perform well for the Lakers? Do you remember exactly who that was?
Danny Green.
Oh, yeah, Danny Green. Well, look what happened. Danny Green had himself a night, led the Lakers in scoring, hit 5 threes in a row at one point. They weren't all wide open shots like we thought he'd get. He's on the move, hitting shots. What did you see from Danny Green last night?
The reason why I anticipated this is what ends up happening is we focus so much on the marquee players, and rightfully so, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. But the core of your team usually are guys that are seasoned professionals, and you know what to expect. I know what I'm getting out of Lou Will. I know what I'm getting out of Harrell. And I knew what I was going to get out of Danny Green, a championship-level competitor going against his former teammate in Kawhi Leonard, that he was going to show up on the big stage to start the season.
After the game, Clippers star Kawhi Leonard and Doc Rivers talked about their debut in the Staples Center.
I mean, like I said before, once I'm playing the game, I'm locked in. So I'm thinking about the next play, the next play. But before the game, last night, it's a lot of emotions knowing that my family's going to be here tonight. And I'm just back here playing in the Staples in my hometown. It was just amazing.
He was intense. You know, you could feel that. Like, you can feel the intensity. There's no doubt about that. I think Ty Lue walked over to me and said, you know, told me, just look at him doing I think on the jump ball circle where everybody was moving around, you know, how everybody does all their gestures. And Kawhi was just sitting there. You could just see, he was like, throw the ball up, let's get this on. Ty was right.
You heard Kawhi Leonard as well there. Do you think Kawhi's family being there really got in his head, like he said?
I think everything matters when you're an athlete, because having that level of support means so very much. This is why on every level, the teams usually play better at home versus their record on the road. And for a guy that won a championship with the Spurs, with the Raptors, finals MVP two times over, now he gets the chance to play in his own backyard. It really created the perfect storm that they were able to land Paul George, because I believe, and I stated, had they not been able to trade for him, he would not have joined the Clippers, because they didn't feel like they had enough firepower. Adding Paul George got the deal done.
I believe so as well. And a lot of focus obviously is on the Lakers and Clippers game, but the first game of the night was fascinating as well. The Raptors and the Zion-less Pelicans went into overtime. The Raptors eventually ended up winning the game. There were two performances that really stood out. Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, each had 34 points, and Siakam didn't even play in overtime. Jalen, what did you see from the Kawhi Leonard-less Raptors?
So I mentioned this a couple of times already. The forward position, in particular the four spot, is going to be an open opportunity for somebody in the Eastern Conference to claim themselves as an all-star. Pascal Siakam, most improved player last year, an improved shooter, gained a lot by playing alongside Kawhi Leonard. I see his confidence in his game just took a quantum leap. And once they give you that bag, I was like, all I got to do is go out there and ball now. And so I appreciated the 34 points, but I love the 18 rebounds.
Yep.
That's what I like. And the 5 dimes. And Fred VanVleet, he was a guy in the finals that was constant. It was steady. And when you win a championship, you need each guy to have a signature game. And that's what the Raptors had in the finals last year. He was one of those guys. So you can put him on the floor with Kyle Lowry. He can make plays on and off the ball. And when he gets going, he can play like he did in game one.
On the other side of the ball with the Pelicans, what I saw was Alvin Gentry just seeing, like, who's going to play for me? Who's going to play for me? I mean, it seemed like he played every single player on the roster. And I checked, of everyone who was available, only Jackson Hayes, who I really like, did not get on the floor. What did you think about Gentry just kind of putting everybody in and seeing what works?
Well, I know what I'm going to get from Jrue Holiday. A seasoned veteran is going to lock down on D. So I'm not worried about his stat line. The stat line I was disappointed in was Lonzo Ball's. Because when you talk about playing a lot of people, he basically only played half of the game. He didn't score double figures in points. Ingram got to double figures. Hart, I like that he came off the bench, gave him 15, gave him 10 boards. But I wanted to see more aggression out of Lonzo Ball, and particularly on the offensive side.
Absolutely. And he didn't finish the game, which is what's going to happen to you when you can't shoot free throws. But I think that'll change over time as his role expands with the Pelicans. And Jalen, something else has been expanding over the years, and I have to talk to you about it. Tell me, am I just super duper old and washed up and out of touch? Or are these championship rings getting too big? The rings are getting too big. Like, they announced that these were the biggest rings, and I know Drake sung about it, but these rings are too big, right?
I would do anything to have one of those. I really would. So I can't act like that any championship ring would be too big for me. For the Toronto Raptors, making it to the NBA Finals for the first time and winning the championship with Kawhi Leonard on their roster for only one season. How about Masai Ujiri adding him knowing that he was probably going to walk at the end of the year. That's why I have another thing I want to put out there. When Leonard returns to Toronto, I need to see two things happen.
Okay.
One, they should retire his number.
No, not going to be able to do it. No chance.
Two.
No chance.
Two, you ready for this one?
What?
Need a statue. Need
oh,
a statue.
God, Jalen. Oh, Jalen, please.
Let me explain.
Please. You're the statue guy. What are you talking about? Are you serious with this?
So let me.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
Let me tell you something that goes under the radar in the NFL and in professional sports that the senior statue analyst didn't let go by. When the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, guess what they did? They put a statue outside of their arena with Coach Doug Peterson and Nick Foles. So you mean to tell me Kawhi Leonard can't have a statue?
Jalen, you will never not impress me with your vast knowledge of statue and statue-related news. But this one, you went too far. You went way too far because you were on TV talking about 99% he stays with the Raptors. It was very much in play for him to stay with the Raptors. He could have stayed with the Raptors, stayed in the East, had this team, had an advanced Siakam, had Fred VanVleet, kept loud. He could have run it back with basically the exact same roster. But he was like, nah, nope, I'm good. Thank you for that 1 year, Canada, entire nation of Canada. I'm out of here. I don't know, man. That's not statue worthy. It is now time for news that matters. You like how I didn't let you respond to that one, didn't you? Well, a British engineering and manufacturing firm is offering people $130,000. $130,000 if they can make robots with your face. Jalen Rose, would you allow them to license your face so they can make robots with it? For $130,000.
Shout to Ray J, who got the life rights of Suge Knight. That's the first thing that came to mind when I saw this.
Okay.
And $130,000 ain't enough to have my likeness for the rest of my life on a robot. Not gonna be able to do it.
What's your number?
For the rest of my life? $130 million.
See, I'll do it for free. What? The idea that there's a robot walking around with my face on it, I'm totally fine with that. It doesn't bother me one bit. And maybe I could even send him to work to deal with you while I stay home. Right now, it's time to give the people. If you listen to Jalen Jacoby, you know that sneakers are very important to both Jalen and I. In today's marketplace, it's difficult to buy sneakers, not the same anymore. You never know if the sneakers you're looking at online are real. Do you know that there's more than a coin flip's chance that the shoes you're looking at online are fake? How can you be sure it's real? You can use GOAT.com. It is the safest way to buy and sell authentic sleek sneakers online. They're the largest marketplace in the world for authentic Yeezys, Jordans, and over 600,000 sneaker listings. They've made the whole process so easy to use. I'm on GOAT.com. All the time. Every detail is inspected of each shoe. The stitching, the color, the size, the weight. GOAT certifies that every pair of sneakers that you buy on their site matches exact factory specifications. With over 500,000 sneakers on the platform and 10 million users, you will not find better prices for verified 100% authentic sneakers anywhere else. Find the perfect 100% authentic sneaker at GOAT.com/JJ. That is GOAT.com/JJ. Plus, you'll be supporting our show. So when you go to GOAT.com, make sure you go to GOAT.com/JJ. You've got to do it right now before the sneakers you want are gone. That is GOAT.com/JJ. Hey, Jalen Rose, I'm sure you, like I, spent all night switching between the World Series and the NBA action, and something shocking happened in Houston. They got after Gerrit Cole, especially 20-year-old phenom Juan Soto got after Cole. He had not just a double, but also this home run that went deep. There's the double you see there. He hit, brought in three runs on the game, and the Nats got at Gerrit Cole to take a 1-0 lead against the Astros. Jalen, what do you think of the game last night?
Well, that's Cole's first loss in 16 starts. But how about Soto, as you mentioned? He had three hits, and he had a stolen base. Like, he was out there balling. And like I told you yesterday, when Max Scherzer takes the mound, these Nationals seem to be virtually unbeatable.
Yep. I mean, Scherzer did give up a bunch of base runners and a few runs, but he held on and the Nats got the win. So after the game, AJ Hinch talked about Gerrit Cole and his performance.
I think he's been so good for so long that you know, there builds this thought of invincibility and that it's impossible to beat him. And so when it happens, it is a surprise to all of us because we've watched for months this guy completely dominate the opposition, and which is why I want to give credit to the Nats.
Jalen, what do you think about Coach giving credit to the Nats hitters?
That's exactly what I just did. But also on the other side, we talked about this with the Braves and Ronald Acuna Jr. Remember, they questioned his hustle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Springer had a point in the game where he thought he hit a 2-run homer. Did his home run trot and everything. Okay. And so instead of getting a triple, he ended up on second base. And coincidentally, the next batter hit what would have been a sacrifice fly to score that run.
And it was a close game throughout. Now, Soto is not the only young phenom on the Nationals team. They also have center fielder Victor Robles, who has had some better-looking plays in the outfield than this one right here. Let's just take a look. A little blooper. He's coming in hard. And, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to dive for this. Dives a little too early and gets hit with the ball. Jalen, what do you think about this error in center field?
Well, that's going to happen when you hustle in the way he does. But also, the sacrifice your body is always key. And what ended up happening on his dive is his knee hit first. That's what threw him off.
Mm. Good point. Great analysis from someone who I know from experience hates falling down. Jalen, there's something that happened during this game. There's a piece of video that needs to be broken down in extreme detail. So you and I need to go to the table. Jalen, you know we love power couples on this show. And there's a new power couple that we learned about during the World Series last night. It is, of course, Houston Texans star J.J. Watt and his now fiance. Her name is Kalia Ojai. And at the game, he was on his phone, maybe texting somebody, maybe looking at his phone, and she looks at his phone the entire time. Jalen Rose, what do you think about her looking at her fiance's phone over his shoulder the entire time they were on camera?
Don't overreact to this, men or women. That looked like a we text, not a me text.
Oh,
he had
okay.
his phone out clearly so she could see it. You know when somebody doesn't want you to see their phone, how they could turn their body and make sure that you're not looking at it. He purposely was letting her look at what he was texting.
See, I've been in a relationship for a long time, too, since before we had cell phones. And I know the difference between when my wife is texting like this and then when she's texting like this and she doesn't want me to see it. That's astute analysis from Jalen Rose, who just never, ever, ever ceases to amaze me with the things that you know and the things that you care about. Jalen, let's talk about the game last night some more between the Lakers and the Clippers. One of the drastic differences between these two teams was bench production. The Clippers bench is so deep and so good, and that's led by, of course, Sweet Lou and Montrezl Harrell. The two, I almost forgot what a good duo they were. Lou and Montrez, it just didn't seem like good friends playing together. You know, he always looked for your friend at a pickup game or something. The two of them were just working it. The Clippers bench put up, wait for it, 60 points. Which was much more than the Lakers. What do you think about bench production for the Clippers?
So just think about what happened this offseason. You have head coach Doc Rivers. On the sideline, you have Ty Lue now on his staff. Won a championship coaching LeBron James, of all people, in Cleveland. So he knows his strengths and weaknesses just as well as anyone. Okay? You have a bench, a core in particular led by Lue and Harrell, that get a chance to play the same role, especially until Paul George comes back.
Yep.
So now, when you start the game, you can allow Kawhi to find his rhythm, like he did in the second half, but only have to play 31 minutes. That now unlocks the door for Jermichael Green to get some minutes and make some shots. Yep. Mo Harkless, who they got from Portland to make some plays, while Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, in particular, run their pick and roll, and Montrezl Harrell does all of the dirty work in the paint. So now when you put Paul George back into the mix, this is why a lot of people feel the Clippers have what it takes to win the championship.
So I always assumed that Harrell would start over Zubac. Like, I just assumed that that was going to happen because, you know, I think that Zubac is a young talent. He's going to have a long career, and he can certainly develop some more. But do you think they intentionally put Harrell and Lou with the second unit so they play against second units and can do what they did last night?
Absolutely. Also, here's the thing. When you have a great coach, your job is to maximize what you're going to get from each player. Mm-hmm. And Montrezl Harrell could be a starter, but sometimes his height could be an issue, and you don't want him to get early fouls based on his aggression. And so now you put him with Lou Williams, a guy that's dynamic in pick and roll and can score the ball and can hit him on those drop passes and get him some dunks. You could put them in against the second unit and get them confident and get them going, because the game has changed from focusing on who's starting. It's about who's finishing. And those yep. guys are going to be out there when the game closes.
It's a really good point.
Yep.
Well, remember when Steve Kerr was talking about how Klay Thompson, it's unlikely he's going to play this entire season, and we kind of overreacted, like, really? Well, he walked it back a little bit. Let's listen to Warriors head coach Steve Kerr.
My comment was very matter-of-fact. It's just ACLs, generally they take 9 to 12 months. So 9 months takes us right to the end of the season. So I wasn't announcing anything. He's doing great with his rehab. Still possible to play, but Clay's bored more than anything. He's bored. He wants to play. He loves basketball so much. We all understand the circumstances.
Okay, here's a question for you about this. It's no secret that the Warriors are not one of the five best teams in the Western Conference. Let's imagine that Klay Thompson is available. Based on what happened to them late in the season last year, wouldn't you keep Klay out even if rehab went well, even if maybe he could work himself back for the playoffs? Would you keep him out anyway?
Well, the great thing about athletes and medicine, you can't necessarily put a timetable on injuries the way we could in the past, because we've seen some people come back sooner than their projection. What he did there was at the 9 in front of the 12 months. So that now you don't take away the motivation, the enthusiasm of not only the teammates that are going to be out there playing and competing every night, hoping that he can join their squad, but also for the player who's dealing with the injury, you want him to feel like there is a chance that he could possibly come back if everything goes well.
That's a good point. Like, if you feel like there's a chance you come back, you might rehab a little harder. You might dedicate yourself a little bit more to it if you've got a 9-month timetable than like a 14, 15-month timetable. Good point. Well, we're going to talk about the health of a different player, a gentleman by the name of Joel Embiid. He sat down with our colleague and friend Rachel Nichols, and here's what he said about his offseason.
You lost about 20 pounds this offseason. How hard was that?
It was different because the whole summer I couldn't really play basketball. It was more about rehabbing and making sure my knee was fine. So you gotta have your days where, you know, you eat what you like, and your days where you actually, like, do the right thing.
Wait. Did he say he couldn't play basketball all summer because he was rehabbing? Did he say he couldn't play basketball all summer? This is not a great indicator of his health going into the season. Do you think that we'll always be dealing with this with Joel Embiid, the minute limits and the skipping back-to-backs and the load management? Is this like a career-long thing for him?
I think so. That's a big man. 7 foot tall, Jacoby, carrying around 270 pounds. And look, what I heard in that interview was maturity. I talked about this earlier in his career, that I felt like that's what sometimes separated a guy like Greek Freak at a really young age, other than health, from a guy like Joel Embiid. You will see footage of him getting a pregame massage on the table and eating a hot dog. And at some point, as a player, you start to tell yourself, I need to make all of the necessary sacrifices, not some of them. And so as you start to realize that your body can't carry a lot of the weight based on your knees, and this is something that Zion Williamson is going to have to figure out also. The first thing you do is you drop weight, and that's what he's doing. And so he's trying to give himself every opportunity physically to be healthy. So that's why you don't play basketball during the summer, because he could get injured.
You know what? It's a really bad look for an NBA player to eat a hot dog while getting a massage on a massage table. But that sounds so good to me. I didn't listen to anything you said after that. I was like, man, I'm going to put some sauerkraut on there and some mustard, maybe some onions. Woo. I know what I'm doing after the show today. Moving on, it is now time for What's Your Number? Jalen Serge Ibaka, the son of the Congo, has a great show where he brings on some of his friends and NBA players, and they explore delicacies. The latest with Kevin Durant, they tried snake. Let's check it out.
Today, I decided to cook a snake for you.
I mean, I can't eat no snake, bro. That's what you eat?
Very good, bro.
That's good for real?
Very good. Try it. You're going to be surprised.
Where'd you get this recipe?
No, I buy the snake and I pull the recipe. You just
made this up?
Yeah.
I wasn't lying.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It's real dry.
Huh? It's fried. Yeah, I fried it. It's a fry.
I'm saying dry, but it's solid.
Okay. Couple things. Number one, if you're going to feed me snake, I need some sauce on there. There got to be some sauce involved. You can't just like cook the snake and then give it to me. But number two, the most important question, what is your number to eat snake?
I actually watched that interview. I thought he did a really good job of exploring some things with KD. And the reason why he made him snake is based on the fact that when he left OKC and when he left the Golden State Warriors, that's what the fans and a lot of critics was calling him.
That's right. Good connection.
So it wasn't in a vacuum. And so for me, I got to always monitor how much I say a number because you guys are trying to make me eat it. But since you know how much I care about cooking, so much so I'm going to take some chefing classes. So for this one, 2,500.
Really? Yeah, I can't afford that. That snake looked better than I thought it would, though. Could use some sauce, like some buffalo sauce on there. I'll get down with that, Serge. My number is probably like $1,000. Probably, maybe even less. Maybe $500.
Whoa, that's
snake.
The highest number ever for you.
The Jalen and Jacoby Podcast is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven. Joining us once again, one of our favorites.
Yes.
Anita Marks.
Yes.
What's up?
Always takes us to the degenerate fan corner.
Yes.
Anita Marks has prepared for these segments more than Jalen Rose has prepared for anything in 8 years all combined.
It's kind of like
combined.
Nobody puts baby in the corner. Please put me in the degenerate corner. Please,
yes, exactly.
Can I just put me there? Leave me there.
You've got the list. You're outside with the velvet rope. You let us in the degenerate fan corner. It is all of yours. So, Jalen.
Yes.
I want to start with this.
Okay.
So in the past, you know, we've been doing this show for years and years and years. In the past, Jalen always gives us updates on his $10,000 fantasy team.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed it's been a little quiet this year.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard about any games. I haven't heard anything about the win-loss record.
No.
I haven't heard a single thing.
No.
So, Jalen, the floor is yours. Any update on the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy Jaguars?
Absolutely. We're 2-4, right? We're 3-4 right now. We're 3-4 right now. There were a couple of issues that happened that didn't play out in my favor. One, Saquon Barkley got injured.
Yes, he did.
1 week I was going against Aaron Jones. He had 4 touchdowns.
I remember that week I had him.
That was killer against me. Kerryon Johnson just got hurt for the Lions this past week.
I can't imagine why you would draft Kerryon Johnson, Jalen. I mean, that's just an objective. You just looked at the best players available and objectively chose the Lions running back, right?
Well, just so you know, I led the league in scoring last week, which is going to get me $1,500 this week.
Wait. I'm sorry. 17 times 15, that is... Oh, no. Now I got to do math. That's about $2,500.
No.
Yeah, $25,000. You guys have a big pool to cut from.
Absolutely. And so I did get high points.
$120,000. Right, it's a 12.
It's like 24,500. 24,500 is 17 times 1,500.
Right, but I'm saying it's 12 people in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's $10,000 buy-in. Right?
Yes.
So it's $120,000 league.
If I'm the commissioner of that league, I'm taking some admin fees. I'm gonna hit you like I was a cell phone service.
3%
fees, interest over time if you don't pay.
Commissioner gets 3% off the top.
I'm like an agent. Be like, just to be here. So the draft is hard.
So let me tell you what happened this past week, however.
Okay.
Great GMing, by the way, had Aaron Rodgers. And another Lion, since you want to get on me about that, Marvin Jones. Both of those gentlemen combined for 10 touchdowns.
Wow, you had Marvin Jones? That's huge.
Yes.
Because Galladay really has been the go-to guy for Matthew Stafford. The fact that you had, see, you know what that is, Jalen? That's your fan hat paying off for you big dividends. Because
Correct.
not a lot of people have been playing Jones because Galladay has been the guy. And the fact that you played him, okay, that played into your fan hat and it paid off big for
and
you. Four touchdowns. Damn.
Here's another GM move.
Mm-hmm.
I drafted Mohamed Sanu the last 3 years in fantasy. I always felt like he was slept on.
Yep.
Because he wasn't Julio Jones.
Yep.
And lo and behold, he just got traded this week. Who did Mohamed Sanu get traded to? Oh,
I forgot.
The Patriots. I have him on my squad as well. So, I'm not panicking at all, Jacoby, with my squad. I'm excited about the rest of the season.
I almost regret asking for the update. I didn't know it was going to be 14 minutes. You know, it's okay. Jalen, I have something I want to discuss with you too.
Okay.
This is huge news. It's being undercovered. Tupac Shakur was arrested in Tennessee last week. Why are you making that face, Jalen?
Tupac Shakur.
Yes, Tupac Shakur was arrested in Tennessee last week. Anita, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
You are.
I don't. Is this an Elvis thing?
Go ahead and Google it right now.
The
Tupac Shakur was arrested in Tennessee last week. Jalen, are you Googling it?
No.
Anita will Google it.
I'm GTS.
He
right
was
now.
Arrested. I think it's aggravated assault. It was in Tennessee. Tupac Shakur. Remember where you heard it here? Hit the broken news button. Reggie refuses. Reggie doesn't want to play these games.
No. Nope.
Reggie just went rogue. He's like, I'm just going to do whatever you say.
Well,
Anita has the information now.
There's a few things here. Number one.
Did I lie? I'm a journalist. Was anything I said factually incorrect?
No.
Okay.
This dude is Caucasian.
Wait, what did you say?
Dude is Caucasian.
What's his name?
Tupac Shakur.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Not the Tupac maybe you were looking for?
No.
That's
so
hilarious.
There's a white guy in Tennessee that got arrested and he's Tupac Shakur.
That's his government name?
That's whoever puts that in a headline or puts that in a tweet, they're getting all the clicks.
Oh yeah, they are.
They're getting all the clicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put in the headline. I assume it's his government name. I also assume that he changed it. You know?
Do we know who did? I'm curious.
His original name.
Can we do some research? Like,
no,
who broke the news and how many more followers did they get
Yes, I'm sure.
A 3 hour time period.
I'm sure. But, you know, he was arrested. Tupac Shakur was arrested. Mm-hmm. Ready here first. I just want to be very clear. It's a white guy named Tupac Shakur.
Yeah.
That does not look anything like the Tupac.
Nothing.
That, rest in peace, we all know and love. And Jalen, while we're here on the pod, it's just us, right? We can talk about things that maybe the executives wouldn't want us to talk about.
They don't listen to your pod.
They don't listen to the pod. They watch the TV show, but with the sound off. So sometimes when we want to talk about things, we can just put up the graphic on the bottom. It's like, who's better, LeBron or Michael Jordan? We can talk about whatever we want.
Right, because they're not actually listening.
Yeah, and they don't listen to the podcast.
Watching.
No, like, no. Big shout to Bill Wolf, the one executive does listen to the podcast.
All facts.
I love
that. Yeah, he does. He listens, and he'll text us things. But hit the too hot for TV button, Reg.
Too hot for TV.
Jalen.
Yo.
A little bit of information.
Okay.
CCTV, the government-run Chinese television network, did not air the Pelicans against the Raptors. I kind of thought this was going to be behind us. I thought it was going to be bygones be bygones. Jalen, is this going to continue throughout the season to be a story that bubbles up every once in a while?
I think so. This is you know, it's one thing to discuss this topic. It's another thing for action to take place that's legitimate. And for them to take that stand at the beginning of the season sends a strong message to the NBA. Because remember, we were over there. They took down all of the promotions.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't allow the NBA Cares facility to happen. And probably because the players were already in town, they allowed the game to go on. But since we left, they're not messing with the NBA, seemingly, and that's going to be an issue with that relationship.
Well, Tencent, which is their digital streaming over there, which isn't necessarily, I think it's, I don't know how exactly the details of how, you know, distribution networks work in China, but I think it's their, like, sort of a digital streaming company that is in business with China and also the NBA and also ESPN. They aired the Clippers-Lakers. So I guess if you wanted to get the Clippers-Lakers game, you could. But this is something that's not, I kind of thought it would go away once the sort of the, once we threw up the ball in Toronto and we had that first jump ball and we could start showing highlights of Lonzo Ball making nice passes and Pascal Siakam scoring 34 points. I thought it would all kind of go away, but it has not.
Nope.
And we will continue to keep you updated when the executives are not listening. So Jalen and Anita, this is something that I absolutely love. And we couldn't put in the TV show because whenever somebody dies, it's not really that funny. But this guy made dying funny.
Okay.
What they did is before he passed away, he pre-recorded a message to be played as his coffin was being lowered into the ground. And I've seen this before, but usually it's like something funny. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a addressing the crowd and kind of like sweet and like there's a couple jokes in there. But what he did is he pre-recorded him screaming from inside the coffin.
No.
Yes. Before he passed away. And it was like, only like one or two people knew about it. So they're all at this funeral. And again, this like, it's weird talking about it because there's nothing like that funny about someone dying. But like, this person obviously had a sense of humor. So as they're being lowered into the ground in their coffin, sound from inside the coffin goes off of the gentleman screaming and asking them to stop. Now imagine you're at a funeral and you hear this. What do you do?
Die myself. Yeah. I mean, like, what, are you kidding me? Like, really? What? You know, everybody, I'm curious. Did anyone go like, wait, stop!
Someone did that. So it's like, I always put myself in the shoes of like the co-conspirator. Because at some point, the co-conspirator has to be like, no, this is all a joke. But like, just because Gary said it was a joke doesn't mean that I'm not going to just completely disregard the sound from coming inside the coffin.
We have to make sure. Open the coffin.
So Jalen, next time you're in town, because at some point I am going to pass away. You know what I mean? Next time you're in town, I'm going to definitely record a message that you are going to be the only person because you're definitely going to outlive me.
Why? Why do you think he's going to outlive you?
His grandma's like 100 and, well, how old is she?
102.
102, yeah.
So you're talking, you're not talking like lifestyle, you're talking genetics.
Oh yeah, genetics. Yeah.
Okay.
Lifestyle wise, we're on the same page. Okay.
So I have one word for this act at the funeral. Selfish. That's what? Selfish. That's what? Selfish.
Oh, I'm going the other way.
All of these people come here to grieve for you and to represent your honor, have just gotten up and spoken good things about you like you were a perfect human being, shed tears. You have pallbearers there ready to carry your casket, and all of a sudden you hear a scream coming out of the casket. That's selfish.
Okay. What? I'll go the same exact way. Everyone's sad. They're thinking about how important you were and how you went too early and you've got kids and the mood is very somber. You know what I mean? It's just a nice little icebreaker. Nice little icebreaker just to mix it up. Nice icebreaker.
You guys, it's like you guys were at this funeral or something. We don't know anything about this guy.
I honestly don't even know if it's a guy. I'm just assuming it's a guy. Oh. I don't think a female would do that.
You don't.
I started gender neutral and then I was like, you know what? I think I can lean into this being a dude. I think this is a very dude.
Anita,
move.
Can I point something out?
Chicks. I know a few chicks who would do that.
Well, right. Of course. We all do. Yep. We all do. Yep. But I'm just assuming.
Anita, what, have you noticed how Mr. Jacoby is very matter of fact? Have you noticed that? Like, yeah, just assume it's a guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I don't think responsible is the right word, but matter of fact might be the right word. Because I was like, then they did this and they did that. I'm like, who am I kidding? This is definitely a dude. But one thing we do every Wednesday, I'm glad you're here, Aaron Wednesday, Anita, is it's Women's Wednesday here.
Oh, nice.
So we celebrate the more intelligent, more responsible, better smelling, and generally superior gender of our species, the women. And we do so by taking only female voicemails like this one.
Hey guys, it's me, Crystal from Phoenix. Y'all are really gonna get to know me. Shout out Big Red. Well, I got soft move for y'all. Quick shout out to my boy Kevin. He's the one that got me onto your guys' show. On that note, that's where I wanna bring in my boss move or soft move. Letting something good go because of your quote unquote pride. Let me know what y'all think, because y'all do be having that quote-unquote pride, can't let things go. So, yeah, keep giving the people what they want. Shout out to you guys. You guys are amazing. Love y'all.
So she wants us to talk about, like...
Oh, we got half the story. Oh, there's something going on between Crystal and Kevin that we don't know about. That he was like, you can call in, but you can't give us the details.
Yeah. But really what she wants us to, or wants you gentlemen to respond to is like the difficulty of letting something go in life just because you're too prideful. Right? Yes. Is that, I'm assuming that's.
Yeah. So here's, let me again, like just like I was very matter of fact and assuming that it was a dude, I'm gonna make some assumptions about this situation too because she didn't give us any details.
Nope.
I thought that someone let her go because of the pride. But as that she repeated a couple times, I read that there was some sort of disagreement between two people, one male, one female, and the male is too stubborn to just keep it in the past, and he's holding a grudge. Sophomore boss move, Jalen Rose.
Pride always comes before the fall.
Preach. Oh, I like this. I like we're going here.
And if something represents your best interest and it makes you happy, I would say do it. If it represents the opposite, then don't do it. Pride is an emotion that can hinder not only your decision making, but your happiness in a lot of ways. What are your thoughts, Anita?
I think when it comes to pride in relationships, either it's one or two things. Either you are more prideful and less in love with that individual. If you are more in love with that individual working things out and swallowing your pride and making it work with that individual is more important to you than your pride. I think it comes down to one or the other.
Absolutely.
Either your pride's more important or the individual you're in love with is more important.
Well put.
And that's how it plays out.
Well put.
Because a lot of times you're swallowing, you might not totally agree with it. It might be a hard pride pill to swallow. But if the person you love is worth it, you'll do it. You'll do it 7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
See, I'm not a big grudge holder, stubborn person. Like, I'll apologize when I don't meet it. I'll forget things that you did very quickly. Like, I'm just not that person. Are you a grudge holder?
No, life's too short.
Yeah, I'm not a grudge holder.
Life's too short.
Yeah. And I've been wronged by, like, most people in my life. So I'd be alone by myself if I was a grudge holder.
Also,
it's just
that
simple.
I think with age comes wisdom. And one thing I've learned is, like, people don't change, right? Like, an individual is going to be who they are. And it's on you to say, okay, I'm either going to date this person or I'm going to be friends with this person, knowing that this is the cachet, this is what they come with, and either I'm going to accept them for their for what they bring to the table, good, bad, indifferent, or not. It's really, at the end of the day, it's on you. Stop being disappointed by people. Just accept people for who they are, and you make a decision whether or not you want them in your life or not. How did we get, like...
Aren't
we supposed to talk football?
Do you know what I guarantee is happening?
Doing?
I guarantee Crystal is going to cue the podcast up to this very topic. She's going to get in the car with Kevin. She's going to push play and just stare at him. I guarantee that's what's going to happen. I already know how this plays out. Crystal's going to stare at Kevin the whole time.
Hopefully she videotapes it and then posts
it. Yeah, please do that, Crystal.
So you guys can play it tomorrow.
Yeah, but now he just grabbed her phone and was like, I'm deleting this video right now.
I got you, Anita. So in a sports context, it's the exact same thing. Winning teams, when somebody makes a mistake, it's my bad and move on to the next play. Losing teams, when somebody makes a mistake, it becomes an argument or a disagreement. And that goes back to what you were saying about if you really love someone, that could be family, friend, relationship, or whatever. There aren't any perfect people. And if you spend time around somebody long enough, they're going to do things to upset you. They're going to do things to disappoint you.
Yeah.
But if you have a healthy respect and or love for that person, it's easier to forgive.
Thank you, Jalen Rose. This Seeing Ghosts controversy will not go away. The latest to discuss that soundbite from Sam Darnold is Adam Gase. Let's listen to Adam Gase, head coach of the Jets.
Usually when it's a Monday night game and, you know, somebody's usually mic'd up, I know once a year I have to do the same thing. cooperate anymore because, I mean, I don't know how we can allow, you know, our franchise quarterback to be put out there like that.
Le'Veon Bell was a little more succinct on Twitter and to the point. He said, quote, "The NFL screwed Sammy over. There's not one player in the NFL who's cool with having every sideline combo broadcasted to millions. There's a reason we've never heard other QBs frustrated on the sideline like that before. That's crazy. At NFL, did Sam dirty as hell." Anita, what do you think about this controversy?
Much ado about nothing. Adam Gase had bigger fish to fry, and that is getting this Jets team and their offense winning some football games. And not sure if everybody out there understands the process here. Yes, it's aired on ABC/ESPN for Monday Night Football, but there's an NFL rep who listens to all the audio and gives ESPN the ability to broadcast or not. Now, I sent out a few text messages this morning to see if that person is still employed. I did not hear back. I do know that there's one quarterback in the NFL who refuses to be mic'd up, and that is Aaron Rodgers, by the way, which, listen, he's got more clout. He's had a lot more success in the NFL. Some people feel the best quarterback in the NFL. But, you know, listen, we all watched that game. Yes, we know Sam Darnold was seeing ghosts. He was seeing goblins. He was seeing warlocks and demons. He didn't tell us anything we didn't know. I understand the Jets being upset. But at the end of the day, Adam Gase has more serious issues that I think he needs to deal with than his quarterback being mic'd up.
That same process that you described for NFL, it happens in the NBA. But the difference is, what people underestimate is, we can actually read lips. That's why NBA players do a great job of lifting up their jerseys when they're talking to one another. So for Sam Darnold and other NFL players, that may be something they want to consider adopting.
Well, Mike Leach tried to invent a football veil that he could wear over himself while he discussed things on the sideline, which I would love to see. But we move on to the other quarterback that played in that Monday Night Football game, Tom Brady. Adam Schefter, before the game, just sort of put some things together and speculated that he's selling his house, his trainer's selling his house, and he's got the ability to sort of void his contract at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. Perhaps he's going to another team. Tom Brady on WEEI this morning addressed that speculation.
I think that's the great part for me is I don't know. And I think that's been a unique situation that, you know, I've been in, because I think when you commit to a team, you know, for a certain amount of years, you kind of feel like your responsibility is to always fulfill the contract. It's been good because I'm just taking it day by day and I'm enjoying what I have. And I don't know what the future holds. And the great part is, for me, football at this point is all borrowed time.
All right, he didn't exactly deny it, Anita, so I'm going to do the media thing and take it too far. If Tom Brady goes somewhere else, where does he go?
Tennessee.
Oh, you got an answer ready like that?
Yeah, Vrabel, for sure. Look what's going on. With the Tennessee Titans, they benched Marcus Mariota last week for Ryan Tannehill. My mom likes to call him Ryan Tannehill. Way to go, Mama Mimi. She was a Dolphins fan. Still is. Happy he's not there any longer. Anyway, they're going to need a quarterback. Vrabel and Tom Brady, very tight. Very interesting. Josh Daniels, what happens with him? He's the offensive coordinator right now, waiting to be head coach next up when Bill Belichick rides off into the sunset. Who knows how long that'll be. We know Tom Brady said that he could play for another 5 years. And Tennessee, solid defense. Derrick Henry, their running back. Solid rushing game. Wide receivers-wise, that they're not really being utilized because they don't have a great quarterback. Corey Davis, they drafted Brown. They bring in Adam Humphries, who I loved in Tampa, is not being utilized properly in Tennessee. So there's weapons there. There's a relationship there. If it does happen, my feeling is that he goes to Tennessee.
I want to throw a flag on the play, okay?
Okay.
What's that? On the play.
Go for it.
I do not want to see my Michigan Wolverine alum playing with the Tennessee Titans at 43 years old. That's a disaster waiting to happen, in my opinion. Tom Brady, I hope that I only get a chance to see him playing football with the Patriots under Bill Belichick, because I know he's going to protect Tom Brady. Just like he rebuilt that defense, so now Tom doesn't have to carry the load on a team that's already undefeated this season.
Jalen, I'm glad you explained yourself there, but there's a next topic that we need to get to that you really need to explain yourself, and we're going to do so in the Degenerate Fan Corner. Jalen, when I saw the news this morning, I was flabbergasted. You are the biggest Lions fan I know. I text you during all the Lions games to make sure you're okay when they're losing and to celebrate when
they're
winning.
That's a lot of texting.
I know. Why did they trade Diggs?
I feel like big play Slay. I'm confused. And I'm going to, this is where I become a degenerate, Anita. This is why I was biting my nails as we started this.
Mm-hmm.
As a longtime die hard Lions fan, this is normally where our season starts to spiral out of control. Mm. The rest of the world gave us a moral victory against the Chiefs. Then we got the referees that cost us the Minnesota game. And then all of a sudden, we're spiraling out of control. Trading our starting safety, terrible decision. I don't know what they're doing either.
Well, a few things. Lions are 2-3. You've got the Green Bay Packers right now. They're 6-1. This week, they go to Kansas City, taking on a Kansas City team without Patrick Mahomes. Matt Moore is there. Okay, that's a win. So they'll probably go to 7-1. And then you got the Vikings. They're 5-2. They're on Thursday Night Football against Washington. That's a win. That's 6-2. Lions, with all due respect, Jalen, Lions are out of this.
Oh, no.
On top of that, breaking news, right? Anyway, on top of this, I was text messaging back with a few folks in Detroit. They have a lot of depth, and they like this young rookie, Will Harris. So they've got a lot of depth. They felt that this was an opportunity for them to trade Diggs before the trade deadline. And going into next year's draft, they want to get a really good pass rusher and maybe a running back. We talked about, you've got Kerryon Johnson who's injured. Mm-hmm. Ty Johnson's going to step up for him. But maybe they're compiling some draft picks so that they can trade up in the draft and go get, you know, a guy that can pin his ears back and go get after some of these opposing quarterbacks in their division. So I think that has a lot to do with it. They've got a lot of depth and they like this young rookie, Will Harris.
Anita, I know you give Jalen Rose a lot of fantasy advice throughout the week. But right now, we need you to give all of us some fantasy advice. And you mentioned Matt Moore starting for Mahomes. Let's imagine you had Mahomes carrying your fantasy team all year and he's not going to be there for you now. What do you do? What moves do you make?
All right, so you can either go week by week in regard to picking up quarterbacks off the waiver wire. This week, Josh Allen against the Eagles. They ranked 21st against opposing quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford, there you go, Jalen.
Oh.
He's got the Giants coming to town. They ranked 22nd against fantasy football points that they give up to opposing quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater against Arizona, 29th. And Mason Rudolph, who's coming off of a concussion. Monday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins, they are just absolutely horrific, and they are giving up the 31st most fantasy football points to opposing quarterbacks. However, and I have to warn you, brace yourself. If you're looking long-term, we talked about him a little bit earlier, I'm not playing around. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold, ladies
Sam
and gentlemen.
Sam Darnold.
Whoa!
This is a Jets team, the remainder of their schedule, so, so beautiful, set up beautifully for Sam Darnold against opposing defenses. You've got Miami twice, you've got Cincinnati, you've got Oakland. He talked about getting Chris Herndon back, how explosive this offense is going to be, and they don't play the Patriots again this regular season.
That's always good.
So Sam Darnold could be a guy that you can pick up for the remainder of the season and play.
Interesting advice. We have two very good wide receivers, both joining undefeated teams with, of course, Sanders going to San Francisco and Sanu going to New England. From a fantasy perspective, which acquisition do you think will be more productive the rest of the season?
Sanders, for sure. This is the San Francisco 49ers wide receiving roster. Here's some numbers for you. They average 8 catches, 113 yards, and they've only scored 4 touchdowns. We're talking about Goodwin. We're talking about Dante Pettis, who's pretty much been in the doghouse all season, and Deebo Samuels, who's been injured and can't stay on the field. Number one target and playmaker for Jimmy Garoppolo is George Kittle, who's a tight end. So this sets up in a big way for Sanders. And also, keep in mind, if you don't know, Sanders knows this offense. So he's coming in, and he doesn't have to. There's not a lot of prep time. On the opposite end for Mohamed Sanu, the Patriots playbook, it's like War and Peace. It's really, really, I'm being serious. It's like, it's really hard to digest and hard to execute. And also, the Patriots are more of a rushing team. In fact, they've got James White, who averages 9, their running back averages 9 targets a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the addition of Sanu for the Patriots moving forward to possibly win the Super Bowl. I love Sanders for a fantasy football value.
Good. So let's imagine that some of our viewers, they live in states where gambling is legal. What is one quick, good bet for this weekend, Anita Marks?
All right, probably my favorite is the Seattle Seahawks -6.5 in Atlanta. Atlanta, 1-6 against the spread. four, get this, guys, in four games, they've registered zero sacks. Zero. What does that mean? Russell Wilson is going to have a field day in Hotlanta. Also, they rank 28th against running backs who can rush the football as well. And Matt Ryan, he's already been he's already out. He's been because of his ankle. Mm-hmm. So Matt Schaub is going to get the start for the Atlanta Falcons. Their defense is just horrendous. I'm really surprised this line isn't at like 9, 9.5. So I love Seattle minus 6.5.
Thank you so much, Anita. You're welcome back anytime. Jalen Rose, NBA on ESPN debuts tonight, and we start with the first game in Philly, where the Celtics travel in to take on the Sixers. My first question for you about this game is, will we see a Ben Simmons three-point attempt?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes,
you
yes,
can't go
yes.
all summer trying to improve your three-point shot and then play the first game and not attempt one, because there will be chances, clearly, because people are going to still leave him open until he shows he can make them. And again, there are two separate things at play for Ben Simmons. It's one, attempting shots outside of the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Two, attempting three-point shots. Those are vastly different. So I hope he has the confidence to do so in his first game.
If I'm Brett Brown, I'm running some plays to get Ben Simmons. Maybe not threes off the jump, but just like a 15-footer, just something. Like, I just want to see him take some jump shots, because I know that not him, not his teammates, but the media, the fans are all going to be hyper-focused on his long-range shot.
Yep.
All right. The Nuggets and the Blazers face off in the nightcap on ESPN. What are you keying on in this one?
You know, we affectionately call the Trailblazers backcourt mama's boys, because we can relate. I'm looking to see Dame Lillard. The last time he shot down the Oklahoma City Thunder and broke up their team.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought that? Okay. I want to see, is Hassan Whiteside going to play like the guy that got the big contract?
Yep.
For the Nuggets, remember I'm saying this. They're probably the deepest team in the entire league. Morris and Beasley. They got so many guys that fly under the radar. Hopefully Gary Harris can stay healthy. Jokic is going to be amongst the league leaders in multiple categories. Going to be an MVP candidate. This will be a fast-paced, high-scoring game.
And they could get deeper with the debut of Michael Porter Jr. He's expected to play tonight for the Nuggets. After missing all of last season, I would love to see him turn into a productive player for this Nuggets team. The Nuggets ceiling is high. Like the Nuggets ceiling is very
the
high.
The ceiling
there's
ain't
a lot
the
of
roof.
Pressure, there's a lot of pressure on them. And you mentioned it before, but with Nurkic out, I think Whiteside is going to be a very important piece for the Blazers to climb up to the top of the Western Conference. And there's another game we have to talk about, Jalen Rose. I know you got your eye on this one. Your former team, the Pacers, take on your lifelong love, the Pistons. Blake Griffin not playing in the game. He's bothered a little bit by his knee and his hamstring. This is not good, Jalen. How concerned are you about Blake's health?
Extremely concerned. We talked about this with Joel Embiid and Zion Williamson. When you had the entire offseason to heal any bumps and bruises, and then you can't play opening night, that's a huge red flag when they're already acknowledging that he's probably going to miss five games. But on the other side, Victor Oladipo. I want to see his return from an injury.
Yep.
And I'm telling people, Malcolm Brogdon is about to surprise so many people, not only with his game, but with his playmaking ability. They're going to have a terrific backcourt in the Eastern Conference.
I have the Pacers as the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference, but there's still 82 games to play. I could see them climbing even higher than that. I really could. Like, the Pacers are so slept on right now in the Eastern Conference, especially with the addition of Brogdon. And here's one thing I love about this game. You can't lose. You can't lose. You can't lose tonight.
I can't lose.
You know what? It's a win for you either way. It's a win for you either way.
My guy, Top Mopkins, do a great job of getting me starter jackets. I have Michigan. I have Pacers. I have Pistons.
I want to thank Anita Marks for coming through. Women Crush Wednesday. Always appreciate your female callers. Wish we got some more of them today. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Kara?
We're not done. We're not done.
Hey, my little guys. I love them.
What it do, baby?
Yeah.